So this exhort is about love. I couldn't think of a good title for it. So it's start off with Romans 5 verse 8. So God showed his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, so I know lots of people, the emotions and their feelings for everyone and everything is kind of like the ocean in big waves. So some people's love for God has peaked, some people's love is like waves depending on what's happening in life and in their moods. Some people are more steadfast than others with their love. Some of us were born into our beliefs and some others had it introduced to them. They had God's love introduced to them by a friend, family member, afternoon seminar. However we came to the understanding of God's love, it caused a reaction or response within us. Us being here today shows that we still have an understanding of God's love and it's still causing a reaction in our lives. Hopefully it is a daily response, not just a weekly one when we come here to get a bit of a refresh. A big question is, what is that response and what is the motivation? Of course, everyone probably has a slightly different answer. We all want to get into the kingdom, but are we filled with love? Would we give up that spot in the kingdom for others? Is our love as genuine and earnest as it was at our baptisms? Or perhaps our love for the truth has been twisted and become almost an automated response to our knowledge. Now, even if our love is earnest and genuine, what state is it in? Is our individual love for what has been done for us in Christ weakening as time goes on? And as Christ has not returned, are we still 100% committed? Are we still sure that the promises will be fulfilled? Have we allowed our love to go from a hearty fire to a smouldering ember? Or has it gone over a period of time that we've been in the truth, however long or short that may have been? Has it grown deeper or changed, or grown out of the honeymoon period into a more mature and nurturing understanding? Is it greater than when we were first baptized? Out of 100, if 100 being the most, how full is your love meter for God and for Jesus? Does it rise slightly as we sit here and think about these emblems and what they mean for us? Matthew 22:35. One of them, an expert of the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments." None of us would sit here today and say that our knowledge has not grown, for example, in the last 2 years. We all know a bit more about the scriptures and the characters and events than we did 2 short years ago. Also, that same hopefully can be said about our faith. But love is not an easy measure, yet it is something we are exhorted to increase and to not only within ourselves, but also in others. John 4, 1 John 4, verse 7 and 8. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." 1 Corinthians 13 makes it clear that if we do not have real love as a motivation for everything, where we are and what we do, then is there purpose to going through the motions of a Christian life? Is not being motivated by love being lukewarm? In Corinthians it also says, "But if any man loves God, same is known of him. The master never disputes those who say, 'Lord, Lord,' that they performed their works and accomplishments. Rather, he points out that he did not know them personally, because whatever their motivation was, it was not divine love. That is why he says, I never knew you. It's pretty simple. To be known by our Heavenly Father and to be acknowledged by his Son on that day, we must love God. Not as we think and feel, but as he spells out for us in his word, and as how Jesus has role modeled for us. Look at Saul, undoubtedly loved God and thinking he was doing great things and great service when he was persecuting and consenting to death of those who are in Christ. Galatians 1:13-16. You have heard no doubt of my earlier life in Judaism. I was violently persecuting the church and I was trying to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism beyond many among my people of the same age, for I was more zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. But when God, who had set me apart before I was born, called me through his grace, I was pleased to reveal his son to me. He was pleased to reveal his son to me. Saul would have pointed to his great works here as proof of his love for God. So let us be aware that we do not fall into this same sense of security in our faith. What then is the key to us having the right motivation to our love for our Heavenly Father in Christ? 1 John 4 verses 10 and 19. In this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We love because he first loved us. The key is that our love must come from our appreciation and understanding and gratitude for the sacrifice that we've come here to remember. Any other reason is a basis for our love, and we're in danger of being like Saul and the others who have been zealous for God, but not only according to knowledge. We read a lot of how to show love and what it looks like, but what happens when life gets in the way of our love? 2 Peter 1:9-11. For anyone who lacks these things is short-sighted and blind. He is forgetful of the cleansing of past sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be all the more eager to confirm your call and election. For if you do this, you'll never stumble. For in this way, entry into the eternal kingdom of God and Saviour Jesus Christ will be richly provided for you. We read we can be short-sighted, blind, and what was the last one? Forgetful. Some of these terms relatable to us? Blind, clouded by prides or concerns of this world, short-sighted, concerned with the present, and forgetful, forgetting what has been done for us and promised to us. Now in this world, many couples end up following the same path because some issue between them. They become blind to the love they had, and things get in the way and it twists the present, and the past memories get twisted, and they forget any hope for the future. They end up fighting and divorce. Lawyers get caught in. She ends up with the house and he ends up stuck with the race car. The sacrifice that was made for us must be real, not just to acknowledge the fact in our lives, because we are called upon to live out the atonement of our Lord in our own daily lives. 1 John 3:16. We know love by this. He laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. Or how about it in more concrete terms in our daily relationship? Wives, be subject to your husbands as you are to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church, the body of which he is the Saviour. Just as the church is subject to Christ, also wives ought to bend everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. Love isn't easy. Jesus asked God for another way out but God's will be done, and he followed it through, and he followed through God's will. We need to keep that in the front of our minds as we go through our daily life with all its distractions and ups and downs. How do we do that, and how do we show our love? 1 John says, "Beloved, since God loved us so much, we ought to love one another. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen." Now let us start today's learning objectives. Just me being a teacher here. Our learning objective: to understand verbs. A verb is an action or a doing word or a state of being. And so love is a noun, but is also a verb. So let us not give lip service to love, but action our love and pray for it to increase. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, 3:12 and 13. "And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he strengthen your hearts in holiness, that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints."